We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Rates.
Thank you very much. Please have a pencil and paper handy in case I should mention anyone you'd rather not be reminded of. But on the basis that we're all friends around here, meet John Amis and Frank Muir and Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John.
Yes.
You first. How large was the audience at the first performance of this familiar music?
Well, Steve, I think you were playing the orchestral version, weren't you?
Yes.
Then it was played for Cosima Wagner, mm-hmm. by her husband and one or two other people, for her birthday.
Yes.
And it was only then that Cosima realised why Richter, the famous conductor, had been running round the estate.
Yes, that's right.
Because he didn't usually play the trumpet very much.
Yes, it was one Christmas at Triebschen, where they lived. An audience of how many then? Cosima
and any children she had up to that time.
Well, a small son, Siegfried, because it was the Siegfried idyll,
right.
Wasn't it? Also, did you know Nietzsche was a house guest at the time?
So yes, I did.
Perhaps heard it too, and of course some staff as well. The Siegfried idyll, right? Frank, I'm going to play you something hugely familiar and then cut off the record and ask you what comes next. What's next?
The synthesizer fused.
I think it had already fused, actually. What comes next? Do you know melodically
what comes next is rather an embarrassing silence.
Yes, I'll buy all these.
It's a Grieg piano concerto.
Yes, comes next. Yes, I mean, next would be... Wouldn't it? Yes, or a rich...
It goes on.
A rich
Then it goes on.
Once started, he is unstoppable, though. While we're on synthesizers, that was very, very synthesized. A collective for synthesizers. Anybody got any ideas? A collective?
A vogue
of synthesizers.
No, sorry, a mode.
A fusing of synthesizers.
Yes, that's right. Anybody else got an idea for a synthesizer? No. Mr. Higgins of Hounslow sent me an advertisement for a microcomputer synthesizer of programmed tunes, which listed among its repertoire Star Wars, Jingle Bells, and Beethoven's 9th and 12th. Very clever of it.
For all the family.
Indeed, yes. Past, present, and future. Ian, Mr. Sidney Jones had a great hit with this. Ian, any chance of you remembering the song title or the show?
I think there's a not much chance of my remembering the song title, but you mentioned Sidney Jones.
Mm. And, I just said Jones.
The only song that I know by Sidney Jones begins something like, "Dream, oh my dearest, till we meet once more," which comes from the Geisha.
So
and if
this.
That one comes from the Geisha, then presumably we're home and dry.
And you got your mark, yes, from the Geisha. The song's called The Amorous Goldfish. The one I played.
The Amorous Goldfish,
sung by Anne Welsh on a very elderly record. Let's move on, shall we, to a question for Dennis. Dennis, listen to this priceless old lyric.
Way down south, way down in Borneo, there's a wild ant called the Borneo. Way down on Borneo Bay. When you see them do that Borneo, you'll just put your jewels in Borneo. Way down on Borneo Bay.
You'll just put your jewels in Pornio.
Pornio?
Dennis, the man who wrote...
for the blue video film.
Dennis, the man who wrote that song also wrote the music of How You're Going to Keep Them Down on the Farm, Carolina in the Morning, and At Sundown. So he did some good work as well. Who was he?
Well, he also wrote My Blue Heaven and Love Me or Leave Me, right?
And Making Whoopee.
Making Whoopee, yes. Walter Donaldson.
Walter Donaldson, yes, that's right. Dennis, for your information, because I know you're an old song collector, I came across an old song called Sister Mary Walked Like That. It was written by A. Massage.
There's a lot of those old songs that have marvellous titles. There was one that was called If I'd Known Now What I Knew Then, I Would Never Have Did What I'd Done. Another one called that. There's no one needs endurance like the man who sells insurance.
That's right. A little general knowledge. John, what was the relationship between the concert singer Dora Labette and the opera diva Lisa Paley?
One and the same.
Same person?
Same person.
What was the story, you know, briefly behind...
Well, at one time, it was very difficult for English singers to get into opera. You had to have a German or Italian name, and so she put on an Italian name, Lisa Perli, and got in.
Yes, Dora Labette, finding that Covent Garden would have nothing to do with a Mendelssohn Elijah-type singer, auditioned as Lisa Perli and made a triumphant debut in La Bohème. Those were the days, right. Frank, I like a good crisp title, don't you? Mm-hmm. Who wrote a song called My Dear Eternally Beloved Jenny von Westphalen?
Somebody who possibly had composing talents, but very little talents for lyric writing. But also wanted to get on fair terms with Westerham. In other words, a suitor of the lady in question.
Well, yes, he married Jenny, actually. He married Jenny von Westphalen, and some people may know who married her. This was a song in the sense of a poem. It was a poem he wrote when he was 18 years old. Do you know who it was? Shall I give you a clue?
Yes.
He also wrote a book called Das Kapital.
Ah, Alfred Marx.
We can't give him the mark, can we? 18-year-old Karl Marx wrote a song to Jenny von Westphalen. Yeah. Ian, who addressed his letters to the mother of the great composer Rossini?
Oh, I should think a lot of people. You see, where Rossini lived, it was a very, very common name. There was Rossini the Vino, Rossini the Spaghetti.
Rossini the Gas.
There's Rossini the Post. Yes. Rossini the Voice. Yes. And there was Rossini the Composer. And because he was a great composer, he used to write to the... If they wrote to his mother, if they wrote to the madre, they write to the madre of the great composer Rossini.
It sounds like a grandparent's remark, actually.
But if that isn't worth a mark, I don't know what is, do you? Yes,
a mark. It's not right.
Who addressed his letters to the mother of the great composer Rossini? The answer is Rossini did. He wrote letters to his mother, addressed to her as the mother of the great composer Rossini. But he was very young at the time. Very young at the time.
Well, he was being prophetic.
Oh, he was, yeah. Dennis, who played Bottom on Broadway in Swinging the Dream?
Well, that was a very interesting show, wasn't it? Because
it was a
swing version of Midsummer Night's Dream, and it had a good cast, because it had Louis Armstrong.
That's right.
We had the Benny Goodman Sextet. And he had Maxine Sullivan, if I remember.
He nodded when you said Louis Armstrong.
Yes. Did he? Oh, that was as far as I need. Well, I get off here.
He played Bottom. Yes. It was his only Broadway role, and it didn't run very long.
No, it's just about 2 weeks or something.
Yes, that's right. 1939 it was.
Who did the Benny Goodman Sextet play?
Fairies, I suppose. Oh. I mean, who else does crowd scenes in the dream? You're going to hear some songs, not with words, but with sounds, vocal sounds. In fact, I can tell you in advance that the sounds in question are, respectively, ah, a hooey de hooey, toot toot, and ooh. So, John, you first. Identify, please.
Ah, 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 ah,
composer, a bird, a flower. I'll accept anything, really. Don't know it.
A clue is what I need, yeah. Not a bird or a flower.
Clue. Well, I mean, a very, very musical bird and a very beautiful flower. Rita Streich was the singer. Saint-Saëns, the composer, was the nightingale and the rose. No, we must leave that.
Mm-hmm. Search me.
Mm. Well, another sound. Frank, here's your sound. What can you tell me about that?
Somewhere in the middle of that was... It's an Indian call, isn't it? My papadum told me when I was in... Blues in the... It ends up Blues in the Night.
Did you recognise the singer from that tiny snatch? No, it was Cleo.
Yes, Cleo. I did, but I couldn't remember the name.
Yes, you have them.
There's a very upper-class version of that, which goes, my mother informed me when I was in Jodhpur.
Yes, that's jarvis. Ian, in your case, just the name of the song.
Woo! Off they go.
Just the name of the song, he said.
Yes.
As if it was something that one could throw off like that.
Yes.
There seemed to be something about a train.
Yes.
A sort of ch ch.
Yes.
I mean, the only one I know is Pardon Me, Boy. Is that the Chattanooga
Choo Choo? No, this considerably predates.
And it
that.
Doesn't sound like the no. Coronation Scot.
Yeah. Dennis, do you know it?
Somewhere around about the back of the cerebellum, it's lurking, but I can't dig
the
it out.
The singer in that little bit was Kathy Kirby, and the tune begins...
Down at the station.
Down by the station.
Down, yeah.
Ooh, ooh. Off we go.
Down by the station. Have you ever what you damn children on your knee to?
I know that sometimes. Louette, Jean.
Yes, that's right. Down by the station early in the morning. Yes, I mean, it's no news that half the folk songs in the world and the nursery songs are the same tune.
Yes.
Dennis.
I was just, you know, just fishing for a quarter of a point.
No, I'm wasting my time.
Dennis, your turn. Whose ooh is this? And most important, how many people are oohing it?
That's that most beautifully photographed scene in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Yep.
I'm a Lonesome Polecat.
Yes.
And presumably it's Seven Brothers are doing it.
Well, now, this is the point. I've played that
it's
deliberately.
One of those,
because
this is
I,
the point
I,
type.
Well,
point.
I cotted my blotty book with this in an earlier edition of the programme. I said that seven brothers were involved in one of the songs from the film. I had forgotten, and lots of kind people wrote to tell me, that of course there were seven brothers and seven brides in the one bride for seven brothers, but one of the brothers, Adam, goes up into the hills. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Leaving the six brothers, and it's the six brothers who do that Lonesome Polecat song.
Oh.
And the seventh brother finally comes back towards the end of the film.
It's too expensive to use throughout the film.
It's Howard Keel.
He wrote the plot.
Right. We turn now to the My Music sports page.
Oh, the games people play now. Every night and every day now. Never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean.
But these are mainly ball games. John, what can you tell me about this?
I'll make a song of Hambledon and sing it at the George. A ball that blew from Beldam's bat like sparks from Pennock's forge. The centuries of Hereward and a thousand guineas bet, and Tudor keeping wicket through the thunderbolts of Brett.
John.
Norman Bailey singing.
Yes, a song by, do you know...
Well, isn't that enough?
No, well, no, it's enough for a mark, yes, but I mean, there's more to be said. A Peter Warlock song, and Frank was making sort of bowling gestures to me, so he realised...
Drake is in his hammock, lad. It's...
just bills.
I would have thought so.
You were bowling underhand, weren't you?
Of course.
Well, you should have gone over.
The cricketers,
song.
Hambledon, yeah.
Yeah, Hambledon, yes. I must tell you, because it's rather interesting, this words by Bruce Blunt... For a cricket match on New Year's Day 1929, when Blunt and other Eskimos, as they call themselves, played J.C. Squire's Invalids on broad halfpenny down in protest against football encroaching on the cricket season. And that song was called The Cricketers of Hambledon. Great place in cricket history.
Frank.
Drake is his...
Cricket then, Frank. In 1898, a composer called Scott Gatty wrote a country house ditty called Cricket, with words by Harry and Leo Trevor, and the chorus went like this. Steady's the word, don't be too anxious to score. When the bowling gets loose, you can slog like the deuce, but don't be too anxious to score. Lovely old song. The song was dedicated, Frank, to E. Zingari. Who or what is or are that?
Eddie Zingari. He's a lovely chap.
He's a lovely fellow.
Cricketer.
So much for my pride. E. Zingari.
It's a cricket club. A very, very noble cricket club. It's the equivalent, cricketing equivalent, is it not, of Leander, the rowing club.
What does it mean, E. Zingari?
It means...
Yes, somebody in the audience said, gypsies. said a man's
gypsies.
Voice. It means the gypsies. Yes.
E-gypsies.
Yeah. Ian, turning to golf, or goaf, or goff, if you prefer. The same composer, A. Scott Gatty, wrote both words and music of four, hark the caddies roar, longest drive that ever yet was seen. Though your drive may be all right, yet you keep this fact in sight. You've got to hold the ball out on the green. The song copy, Ian, was dedicated to the Royal and Ancient St. Andrews, N.B. What does N.B. stand for?
N.B. at that point stands for North Britain.
That's right. Right. That is a different kind of sport for you, played indoors. Give me a date, if you can, for Love in Mayfair. I'll just play you a strain of it on the piano. Oh, nice tune.
We think Edwardian...
You?
Do we?
A bit early for that.
A bit early. I would think round about the beginning of the century.
Well, you said that Edwardian is too early.
Yes, a bit too early. I think you got it, because you're very near to
about 1912?
Well, 1913 it was published.
Philippe Raymond.
Philippe Raymond wrote it, that's right. Four notes. F, D, C sharp, D. The opening notes with different rhythms of a number of pieces of music. John, those four notes expressed in this rhythm, what are they? Yes. What is it? Well, which composer? Can't conjure it out of your memory, can you? It comes from Don Pasquale. Half a mark, who wrote Don Pasquale?
Donizetti.
Thank you very much. Comes from the overture, actually. Mm-hmm. Frank, same notes. Same notes, Frank, different rhythm.
Da-da-da-da-da, sweet Rosalie, Rosalie.
No, that would have been... Ba-lam-ba-dum, this is... Ba-la-ba-ba. I wouldn't leave.
Oh, I don't sing it like that.
No,
I wouldn't leave my little wooden hut for you.
Well, a lucky half mark. Right, Ian, yours is more sentimental.
Was what I thought of.
Sweet Genevieve.
Yes. And Dennis, yours is in the form of a question, a rhetorical one.
Dun 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 bum bum bum. Ain't we got fun?
Yeah, you get the mark there. Four songs now, as performed by our four singers. Frank, Vesta Victoria's sad song, Now I Have to Call Him Father. Chorus for you, and then another one for the audience.
Yes,
would that be all right?
It's a bit short, isn't it?
Yes.
Unless the audience... Can you come in? La 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 it, if you don't know the words, because it's a very tragic song, particularly the way I sing it. He used to come and court his little Mary Ann. Used to think that he was my young man, but mother caught his eye, they were married on the sly. Now I have to call him father. La, 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 la.
woman caught his eye, and they were married on the sly. Now I have to call him.
I don't think folk songs come any more haunting than John's song, Oh, Whaley, Whaley.
Get ready for haunting.
The water is wide, I cannot get o'er, and neither have I wings to fly. But get me a boat that will carry two, and both shall row, my love and I. Oh, love is handsome, and love is fine, and love's a jewel while it is new. But when it is old, it groweth cold and fades away like morning dew.
Dennis's song is supposed to be sung by an Indian brave to his squaw. Are you ready, Laughing Water? Shall we
ready?
Do our stuff?
give me a bit.
Okay.
Your voice is ringing my silver bell. Under your spell, I've come to tell you of the love I am bringing o'er hill and dell. Happy will dwell my silver bell.
My silver bell.
I see. I'm ever so sorry. Something came over me at that
point. It's you just usurped that my prerogative.
Yes, I did a bit.
I would never have dreamt of doing that.
You never usurped a prerogative in your life, did you, Ian?
Never.
Instead, you sung Edelweiss, didn't you, sometimes. Would you rather sing it or spell it? Sing it.
I think I'd rather sing it.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss, every morning.
I don't really think anything can follow that except the score, which shows a victory this week for Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace.
Bye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiner.